Hey, it's Brian. Coming up on the podcast today is Andrew Sidney, Houston Rockets Director of Group and Inside Sales. This is a great interview. Andrew and I had a lot of fun. But first, we need to talk about the new Masters in Global Sport offered by NYU as part of their School of Professional Studies, Preston Robert Tisch Institute for Global Sport. I've been reading this ad for a while, and I keep meaning every time afterwards to research a little more about Preston Robert Tisch, who the Institute is for Global Sport is named after. Here's the quick and dirty, because I found this interesting. He was a chairman of the Lowe's Corporation, which owned movie theaters and hotels. You're probably familiar with it. He was the Postmaster General of the USPS for 2 years, and, drumroll please, a 50% owner of the New York Giants, along with Wellington Mara. I always associate the Giants with the Mara family, but had no idea Preston Robert Tisch was an equal owner and was clearly philanthropic, giving a lot of school back to his alma mater, NYU. All right, let's get back on track. In his name, NYU has launched the new Masters in Global Sports, 36 credit hours, 16-month program. It is offered online, so it's great for busy professionals, and includes 4 one-week residencies. 2 in New York City and 1 each in Tokyo and Madrid, which makes sense. If you're going to study global sport, you got to get out there. Tokyo and Madrid sound pretty darn cool. You'll gain comprehensive knowledge of sports business on a global scale, which if you've been paying any attention, you'd realize is the direction we are headed. So this is the type of advanced degree you need. For more information to apply today, go visit sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. One more time, sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by workinsports.com, the most comprehensive job board for the sports industry. I'm looking right now, 13,139 active sports jobs right now as I read this in this moment. I'm just going to leave that right there. No need to expand upon it. I'm not going to list off a bunch of jobs. I'm not going to tell you anything else because our site is awesome. Come check it out for yourself. If you're serious about working in the sports industry, you won't be disappointed. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. A few weeks back on our little program, I mentioned the idea of having a company-first attitude towards job seeking, kind of flipping the equation a little bit. We also often look for roles that fit our skill set, which, again, makes sense and is still a logical way to search. But I also espouse the benefits of looking at the companies that fit you, your personality, and your career goals, even better when they have a reputation for training and developing staff. That's important. Your first step is so important. Think of it this way. Your fit earlier in your career matters for your overall ceiling. Would David Carr, number one draft pick of the expansion Houston Texans in the 2002 draft, been a more successful player if he hadn't gone to an expansion team and get sacked 249 times over his first 4 years in the league? Would Tom Brady have been as successful if he hadn't landed under Bill Belichick and played in one system his entire career? Would Devin Booker be a household name if he wasn't putting up huge numbers for a terrible team in Phoenix? Your fit matters, and athletes don't usually have a choice, but you do. I know it's idealistic when you're first starting out to think you can demand anything or be choosy about the jobs you have or selective in your roles. We're all guided by fear, and when you're job searching, you tend to go wherever someone is interested in you. But consider for a second how important culture and role and development and training really are to your future. I started out at CNN Sports Illustrated, and I look at that like I was getting my master's from the experts in journalism. That was a perfect fit for me and set me up for every success I have had. If I took another offer that I had at a small station in the Midwest, I may have toiled there and never really took off in my career. I may have never developed a profile or really enhanced my skills. I remember being pushed at CNN. I remember starting at CNN and having a few weeks of training before we did a damn thing. That was the best possible thing that could have happened to me. It made me comfortable and it set me up to succeed. I was watching Bar Rescue the other day. Yes, I watch some bad TV, and I'm sure you do too. But everybody knows that show. It's kind of awesome in a bad way. But anyway, they were talking about the national food chains, you know, your Chili's, your Applebee's, and the training they put all of their servers through. The steps of service, I think they called it. And it was like this uniform system that everyone gets trained in. They take the effort to train their employees so their customers get an expected level of service and come back again and again. Well, what does this have to do with sports jobs? It's simple. When you begin to isolate organizations you really want to work for, part of your research should be into their training and their culture. How much effort do they put into making their employees the best they can be? How much are they going to help you become your true potential, your full potential? Because that's important. Today's guest, Andrew Sidney, Houston Rockets Director of Group and Inside Sales, spent 5 years with the Frisco Rough Riders, AA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. And as Andrew will tell you, they were dedicated to training staff, teaching them best practices, how to operate, how to succeed. They set their staff up with apartments in the area and clearly cared about their overall development. And Andrew looks back at that as such an important part of where he is now at an executive level in the NBA. That's so important, those steps, those opportunities. That's what you're looking for in your first jobs and internships. An organization that sees you as more than a means to an end or an opportunity to solve their problems. You want to be part of an organization that will help you develop and learn. Take a note out of John Elway's playbook. The top-rated player in the 1983 draft, Elway was going to be drafted by the woebegone Colts and basically said no and forced a trade to the Broncos. Eli Manning did a similar thing with the Chargers, forcing a move to the Giants. Had they not invested in themselves and their future, if Elway hadn't spurned the Colts for the more established Broncos, who knows if we ever would have known and seen the superstar he became. So value yourself and your opportunities. Just like today's guest, Andrew Sidney, Houston Rockets Director of Group and Inside Sales. Hey, Andrew, how's it going today?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, this is exciting. This is really great. And as we were just talking about before we got started, I always try to, you know, reach out to people when they've finished their season because things can be a little crazy during the season. So I appreciate you making a little time and carving out to come on the show and talk a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You picked a good time for it, although it's a little earlier than we had hoped. We're grinding away here in the off season in hopes of starting our 19-20 season off on a good foot.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go back to your beginning a little bit. I find that really fascinating. You graduated from Ithaca College in 2010. You had your BS in sports management, and 10 years into your career, you're already in a high level role with an NBA team. If you look back to that time when you were in college and where you are now, do those two things line up? Like, did you see yourself in this kind of a role doing this kind of thing back then, or has it kind of changed and adjusted as you've gone through your career?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't, looking back on it, 10 years ago, I don't think, I knew where I was going to be, today. Obviously I'm really happy with where I am, but it's more about, just the location of where I am rather than kind of what I'm doing. I always knew I wanted to be involved in sports in some way. We'll get into that a little bit later, but sales was a great way for me to get my start, and then fell in more in love with it as time went on. I did not think I would be, moving from New York to Frisco, which was in Dallas, and then even further south down to Houston. So, being in Texas for almost 10 years, didn't think that was going to happen. But looking back on it, it's, one of the best decisions I've ever made. So definitely happy with where I am and how things have turned out. But if you asked me 10 years ago, I don't think I would say, I'd be with the Houston Rockets, helping oversee our ticket sales department.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely one of the most unheralded parts of working in the sports industry is that it definitely takes some adjusting location. I mean, like relocation. I was in Atlanta, Seattle, Denver. I'm in Philadelphia now. I mean, it's just a part of the gig in a way, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're competitive and you want to, whether it's gain more responsibility or move up in your career or just try some new things, grow your network, meet new people, moving around is part of the deal. Plenty of people, there are plenty of people that, that do stay at the same same team or same location for their career, which is awesome if that works out. But for many of us, you know, moving away from home or trying some new cities around the country is a great way to expand your horizons, meet new people, and hopefully grow your career.
For sure. So back in those days at Ithaca, you were really aggressive interning. Long Island Lizards, Syracuse Crunch, Newark Bears, great names, all of them, by the way. What were some of the most helpful aspects that you remember from that time interning in minor league sports? I've talked all the time about how minor league sports are a great environment to learn. Did you find that to be true? And what were some of the main takeaways you remember?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few. The biggest one for me was like you just said, gaining as much experience and seeing as many different things as I possibly can or possibly could back then. Whether it was with the Lizards doing mostly promotions, the Crunch was a lot of PR work. The Newark Bears, I was actually a stadium operations intern. And, you know, for some of those jobs, I after completing my internship, I knew exactly what I did not want to do for my career,
yeah.
Which is at that point in of your career at that age, that's actually a really beneficial thing for people. They always, a lot of interns we talk to are like, yeah, I know I want to do sales or I really want to get involved in marketing, and that's great if you know that. But if on the other side of it, it could really help you understand that you don't want to do that moving forward. So for me, that was the biggest benefit for some of those internships was I figured out what I did not want to do. And then on the other side, it really gave me a great opportunity to see into how different teams were run, whether it was lacrosse or hockey or baseball, what all went into that, how much work, how many hours you had to put in. It really helped prepare me for my first opportunity in Frisco. And I went in with eyes open on what a sales job would entail, what the culture was like, and then, what sports was all about.
I really love that you brought up that fact of learning what you don't want out of your career, because a career clarity is something that's hard for a lot of people, right, to figure out what they want. And a lot of times they view going on an internship and not liking it as like a failure. But in reality, I think you made the right point there, is that getting that clarity of what you like and what you don't like is just as important as anything else that you could possibly learn on an internship.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I look back on it now, and specifically with the Newark Bears, I was a stadium operations intern, and when I first started there, I was like, okay, this could be interesting. Basically involved with everything that goes on at the stadium and things like that. And one of my first tasks was, to help clean the bathrooms.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, man, I don't see this as my career moving forward. I went through the summer, I did everything I was asked, and it's also part of building character, right? Like going through something, yep, you may not want to do shows that you can go through adversity. You can go through times where you may be in a situation that you're not totally comfortable with, but you can overcome that, go through it with a positive attitude. And then specifically, relating that to sales, you go through adversity all the time. Your days are never, you're never the same. You have days where you make a sale and you feel great. There's more days where you don't and you feel down. But if you can rely on some of those times where you're like, okay, I went through this and I was able to make it through that, I can get through today. So that's what really, for me, looking back on those internships or that one specifically, has helped me grow further in my career.
Yeah, that's some really good perspective there, for sure. Your first real big break comes from the Frisco Rough Riders, like you mentioned. And it's a big jump going to Texas, relocating is a big deal, and a shift to more of a focus on sales. What was that overall process like for you? Because I remember when I got my first job in Atlanta and I moved from Boston to Atlanta, never having been there, I'd barely ever been to the South. I have to, find an apartment and learn my way around a new city and get into a job and really try to do it well. And how was that process for you? Because I look back at it and think it was really stressful.
Yeah, I mean, we have a very similar story, at least to start. I never been to Texas before. I had been to Houston. I played baseball growing up. I played in a baseball tournament for like 2 days in Houston, but right. I never really spent a lot of time in Texas. And this was in Dallas, which where I've never been. You know, my family was like very, very supportive of me, you know, leaving New York and trying something new. They all thought I would be moving to a place that had, you know, people riding around on horses with cowboy hats, which wasn't exactly the case, because Frisco is an extremely nice suburb. But you know, it was challenging. It was stressful. I think there were a couple things that really helped me out. And number one was my family being so supportive and helping me. Number two was the Rough Riders in general. They had a really great deal with a nearby apartment complex that helped get Frisco employees set up on a cheaper rate than what they would ask for a general person, which was helpful for someone who was making, you know, minimum wage and then hopefully trying to sell a few things to right. get some extra dollars. And then just the support system within Frisco and the Rough Riders, the people that were there, the culture that was already built, you know, they had a great story to tell. They still do have a great story to tell. The people that have come from that area, come from sales, specifically ticket sales, that have moved on to bigger things, they really knew exactly how to mold and mentor people into really good salespeople. And then, you know, down the line, you grow from there. But it was a big family, and we all hung out together. We all felt comfortable at work together. We're all competitive, and they knew who they wanted to hire and what type of personality was going to work. So I owe a lot of it just to how comfortable they made me feel there. And basically going from, you know, not knowing anybody when I first started to feeling like I had a great support system, you know, a few months in.
So I want to get into all the sales stuff, because I think that's super important. I want to give a lot of people insight into that, but I want to really dig into what you just said, because I'm often thinking about myself and for advice to young people getting started, that first job that they take is so important for their foundation in the industry and just getting in the right culture and the right environment and somewhere that will train and help you thrive. It sounds like that is something you look back on very fondly of your time with Frisco. Did that really help form you and the person you are now, just being in that right environment and making that right choice?
Yeah, it's the reason why I'm here now talking to you. There's so many people that, you know, are responsible for my career that are from Frisco and have moved on to different things, and I look back on it and it was a extremely beneficial, fun, challenging, frustrating at times, tiring at times, but you look back on it and you're just like, man, that was a great point of my life. And it really set the stage for my career. And I wouldn't be where I am today without starting in Frisco.
Okay, so you jump to this environment where you're no longer cleaning bathrooms, but you're making you're making 100 calls a day, you're selling season tickets, your group tickets, your mini plans. Did you take to this sales environment immediately, or was it kind of a work in progress for you?
I think for me, the sales side of it was a work in progress, just because I didn't know the product. You know, I wasn't super familiar. I didn't feel, you know, totally comfortable when I started in Texas. You know, I'm this New York kid with a New York accent, talking to people who are a little bit, you know, more relaxed than a typical New Yorker in Frisco. So just adjusting to the environment it took me a good month to feel like really comfortable with what I was doing. But what I was comfortable with immediately was, like I said, the people and then the competitive side of sales. Growing up, you know, as an athlete, loved to be competitive with my, you know, my younger sister growing up, we competed at everything. Friends, you know, we were always doing, you know, whether it's, you know, playing wiffle ball in the front yard or playing basketball, whatever it is, you know, we were competitive and that was me. And I knew that this sales thing, like I wanted to win, I wanted to be number one, but I also wanted to do it the right way with high integrity, which I thought was key, because you run into people sometimes that just want to win at all costs. But for me, it was that balance. And like I said, like the people there, everybody there wanted to be helpful, wanted to be competitive, and we were just trying to be the best sales team we could be. And after about a month or so, I started feeling good, and made a couple sales, and then it kind of confidence took off from there.
So you mentioned competitiveness a lot in there. Is that like there's a lot of turnover in sports sales jobs? You know, a lot of people come in, try it, don't necessarily they flame out or they're successful or, you know, they go a different direction or whatever it may be. There's a lot of turnover. Is that as you look back and kind of identify the traits of those people that are successful in sports sales, is that an integral kind of trait that you have, that natural competitiveness? And I would guess also the kind of relationship building side and the customer service side, but really that innate competitiveness must be important, right?
Yeah, I've always kind of described it as being, you know, we want team players, but we want competitive team players. You have to be competitive in sales. I don't think, you know, I mean, there's probably people that you know, everyone has different like levels of competitiveness, but there needs to be an innate, like you said, competitiveness inside of you to try and you know, be a top salesperson. I think there's more that goes into it, like coachability, listening skills, you know, emotional intelligence, being able to communicate, you know, utilizing your tone and your voice and inflection on certain words. But like competitiveness and that drive of coming in every day, making calls, you know, being on meetings and trying to be the best salesperson you can be, it not only happens at work, it happens when you're at home. It happens when you're in the car. Are you practicing? Are you trying to, you know, put yourself in situations to grow and be better? So I do think that competitiveness is a huge adjective of somebody who's successful in sales.
So I don't have a sales background. So I started out in the media, mm-hmm. and my whole career has been in the media. But as I've gotten deeper into the side of trying to give people advice and learn more about the industry, sales jobs drive the entire sports world, right? It's the straw that stirs the drink. It's the revenue that comes in. It's so much of our industry. And I look at you and I see your kind of career growth, and I see when you're successful in sales, there's this high potential for quick growth. I mean, within 9 months in the sales department at Frisco, you were jumped up to senior corporate marketing manager. And now 10 years into your career, you're director at the NBA level. Is that the norm if you're a strong performer in the sales growth, in the sales world, that there's high career growth potential? Is that what you see when people are successful in this side of the industry?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. I think it depends on, obviously, there's luck that goes involved, and I'm a big believer in you make your own luck, right? So, you know, you opportunity plus preparation, and that's all you can do. If you're, you know, if you have the opportunity and you're prepared for it, you know, go get it. In sales specifically, if you're a high performer, I think you have the ability to move up pretty quickly. It depends on what organization you're in. So in Frisco, we had people who not only wanted to be successful in Frisco, but after 3 years knew, okay, I'm going to sell in Frisco at a high level for 3 years, and then I want to jump to the pros, or I want to move into management in Frisco and then move on to, you know, an NBA team. So it created this culture of like, okay, 3 to 5 years, really high level sales, move into management, or really high level sales, move into a premium role somewhere else. And that just trickled down to everyone who started in inside sales. Okay, I've got to really crush it for 3 or 5 years here, and then I can get a really big opportunity down the road and maybe jump some other folks who maybe need to take a little bit longer. So in Frisco, I got a lot of opportunity quickly because the people ahead of me had that mentality, and it opened up doors for me. But I was always, looking back on it, when there was an opportunity, I put myself in a situation to be that person. And that's all you can do in sales. When there's an opportunity pops up, are you the person that's like, okay, we got to promote John, or we got to promote Becky? Like, it's a no-brainer. And that's where I think the potential for growth is if you're the no-brainer promotion opportunity, you can move up pretty quickly.
So over 50% of the jobs on our website, Work in Sports, are in sales. And when I talk to people who are like, hey, I love the sports industry, I don't know exactly what I want to do or where I fit, I always suggest, I'm like, look, the opportunities are there in sales. And there's a high career ceiling there. There's a lot of opportunity. Go in that direction. And yet you get this little bit of a pushback. You get a little bit of I don't know if that's what I want. What is it that people are missing about sales careers? Because clearly you've thrived in it. You enjoy it. You have this passion for it. What are the entry-level people, the young people, kind of missing about the how much fun it is or how great it is to work in sales, in your perspective?
I think some people, and I know I was like this, like when I heard sales, I was like, oh man, like a car salesman, like an old, you know, used car salesman, right, or something like that. That's like the natural thought. And I think that's changing. Like, you know, if you look on LinkedIn, I mean, there's, you know, teams every day posting about how much fun sales is or what they're doing to create culture or who's winning a contest or who's the, you know, the activity champion of the month. Like, I think overall in sports, inside sales managers, directors of ticket sales do a great job of showing how much fun it can be. But at the end of the day, it's about the work that you put in. And I think some people are a little scared to pick up a phone or you know, be responsible to generate revenue or meet with people face to face. And I don't blame them. Like, you're not really taught sales. There's schools around the country now that do it better, but when you're growing up or you're going through high school or you're into college even, there's no real teaching about what sales can do for you. Like, it's not just about your career in sales. It's about what it does for you as a person and how much more confident it makes you in every other part of your life. And I think it really helps you grow just not only professionally, but personally too, in anything you do. And if you leave sales after 2 or 3 years, whatever you learned, you take to your next job, and all of a sudden, I think it makes it easier for you.
So you had a pretty big jump going from minor league baseball to the Houston Rockets. How different is it working in the minors versus the pros? Is it really the same techniques, just different expectations, or is it a completely different ballgame?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always been the same techniques. Everything I learned in Frisco, like automatic translation on the sales side of things. At some point, you know, I've said this to people here, I think specifically with where I went, you know, in Frisco, and there's some other minor league teams around the country who do a great job also, you learn how to sell, like truly how to sell. You're not marketing, you know, and I'm going to say this, obviously I have, you know, we have James Harden and Chris Paul here, but you learn how to sell a product that has nothing to do with wins, nothing to do with superstardom, and you really don't have that brand either behind you. So you are truly your own CEO trying to generate revenue based off of how tickets can help utilize, how businesses can utilize tickets, and then how families can hopefully spend more face time with each other at games and enjoy that experience and that value at a game. So taking those fundamentals and bringing them here, you know, in the NBA was, to me, it translated great. And then from a management perspective, I think there is definitely a lot more that goes into it on the strategy side. We have a lot more resources here in Houston than I did in Frisco as far as analytics. And obviously there's more that goes into selling out an 18,000 seat building than a 9,000 seat building. So there's some different things on a management side, on strategy side, but as far as sales and how you deal with people and manage people and the culture you build, it's the same thing to me.
So let's take that management conversation, dig a little deeper in there. You have staff you manage now, and you have big challenges you need to fill. I mean, obviously, 18,000 seats is I would think every time you look at the empty arena, you think, oh my gosh, we have to sell all these. You know, like I'd have anxiety, you know, just looking at it when it was empty. So what about when you're hiring staff and you're bringing in new people? How do you identify people you think are a good match for your organization, but also a good match for the sales world? What are you looking for when you bring in people?
Yeah, I have a certain set of questions that I ask, you know, specifically for inside sales hires, that I think have helped, you know, narrow it down. You're never perfect, and people change their minds, or people think they're getting into something and then it's completely different. But I think we've got a good process here to hire the best people and hopefully have them stay. One of the things I try to do is create a culture of diversity, whether it's, you know, whether that's gender, or just where you're from in the country, or different mindsets. Like, I want people from, Texas. I want people from Houston, but I also want from people from around the country, because it brings different thoughts and different processes and different personalities together, and I think that helps the team. I don't think you need to be a diehard. You don't need to be a diehard basketball fan or a diehard Rockets fan. I think you just, I want high integrity people that are competitive, that I know if they come here, they will listen to not only us as a staff, but also listen to their peers and be open to help, be open to coaching, and at the end of the day, want to be part of a successful group that is always striving to get better. That's what we look for in when we bring people in.
I have a lot of people that reach out to me and say, hey, I started out in this one career. I've gone down this path, but I'm just not happy. I want to get into sports. What about those type of people? Are you, when you look to hire, are you always looking for somebody that has a background in the sports industry? Or are you open to people that have maybe a different experience out there? Maybe it is still connected to sales, but selling something completely different than sports tickets or whatever it may be. How open are you to people that don't have, prior sports experience on their resume?
Very open. I think that's part of that diversity, right? So,
right.
We've brought in people, most recently an example, someone who was selling like gym memberships at a gym, and did that for about a year and a half and, did really well, but didn't want that to be their career. And they came over here and have done extremely well and were promoted to, a more senior position on our staff. Sales is sales. I think that if they've got sales experience in a non-sports organization, that can really bring a lot of benefits to people who are already here and just different thoughts and different ideas. So we're definitely open to that. I think it's a mixture. I think it's, we have people who love the Rockets. We have people who just like sports. We have people who love sales, and it brings a nice mixture together to hopefully, create the best culture and work environment that you can have.
So we'll finish up with this, and I really appreciate you taking the time. This is great stuff. I mean, I know our audience is going to eat this up, but I want to finish up with this. I've worked in many different environments, as have you. You mentioned earlier about the lengths that sales organizations within a team are going to make it a fun and engaging environment, and having contests and sharing little videos on LinkedIn. I see all kinds of like welcoming new associates to a team and have this cool video of them, almost like a baseball card kind of thing. How important is that when you're in a senior role like you are to establish a work culture that makes people want to be a part of that environment? And how would you, if you took a step back, how would you define the Rockets work culture?
I'll start with the Rockets work culture first. For us, we're competitive as an organization. Like we are a sales organization from the top down, or from our ownership. He had an interview the other day. He said, I'm a deal guy, and we're salespeople here. Like we want to sell. Our top goal is to generate as much revenue as we can, but to do it with high integrity, do it the right way, and then also to have fun. So for me, on the sales floor, specifically here with the Rockets, I always say it's like a locker room type atmosphere. We're competitive people within the team. We like to have fun. We like to, when it's there, we can make fun of each other. There's no, people aren't truly sensitive. Like we all just want to grow and be a better organization. And however, people are open to constructive criticism. We have open, engaging, coaching sessions, peer to peer, manager to peer, and then from a management level, we want to connect with our staff and feel good about our relationships, but also know that, hey, we have a job to do, and it's our job to make sure that we're driving this thing in the right way to meet our goals, but to also create an environment where people want to come to work every day and want to be here and be a part of something great. So, I think for us here, that's the goal. It's to hit our goals, to be, not only hit our goals, but to beat them, substantially, but also to have fun and realize that, hey, we're working sports. We have a great team on the court. Not many organizations have had the success that the Rockets have had, and to enjoy that and be a part of it, but also know that with that on-court expectation, the off-court expectations are even higher, and we have to meet those.
It's always about balance. I love that, Andrew. This is such an insightful interview. I've learned so much for myself, and I know our audience will really appreciate it as well. Thank you so much for coming on, and enjoy what little time you have of the off season before everything gets ramped right back up again, right?
Absolutely. We're already there. But yeah. I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much, and I had a great time through this.
Thanks to Andrew for coming on the show. Great to talk with him and learn a ton more about thriving in the sales world and working in pro sports. I think it's so important to know that Andrew did all these internships. He didn't go into college saying, I want to work in sales. He did all these internships. He tried out different things. He figured out where he felt the best. And then when he got his first opportunity in Frisco, he went into it full bore and found out he loved that side of the industry. He loved working in sales and still does to this day. So keep that in your consideration set. So often people push back against me when I say, consider sales. You know why? They think it's something that it's not. So for you out there that are still trying to figure out your fit, there are lots of opportunities in sales. The ceiling is really high. You can advance quickly. You can be happy and successful in these great cultures. And there's so much to get out of that. So thank you for Andrew coming on the show and explaining more about his world and how the Rockets operate. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with friends, give us a good review out there. All of that stuff really matters to us. Join our private Facebook group by searching the Work in Sports Podcast on Facebook. Join into that group. It's super fun. And I will see you guys all very soon. All right, for now, it's time to get back to work.